This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for May 25, 2012. I'm Natalie Pincham and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the JNS today. The article topics in this podcast are traumatic brain injury, vascular disorders, and stereotactic radiosurgery. Suppression of thalamocortical oscillations following traumatic brain injury in rats. A laboratory investigation by Chris Keough and colleagues. Recovery from traumatic brain injury, or TBI, is often confounded by a subacute encephalopathic state with global network dysfunction seen on EEG. This study investigated the electrophysiological basis for these changes, as well as the time course of recovery in an animal model of traumatic brain injury. In the authors' slice preparations, they consistently found spontaneous slow cortical oscillations from slices obtained in uninjured animals. In the fluid percussion injury slices, these oscillations were absent in 84% of slices recorded at 1 hour post-injury, and then slowly recovered to control levels by day 15. Electrically evoked slow cortical oscillation-like potentials given higher stimulus intensities were needed to elicit electrically evoked slow cortical oscillation-like potentials up to 7 days following injury. But the oscillations returned to control levels by 15 days post-injury. Unlike the acute suppression of slow cortical oscillations, the authors found that the maximal disruption of evoked slow cortical oscillation-like potentials occurred at 2 days following injury. Only 28% of slices exhibited any evoked oscillations at all. The suppression of slow cortical oscillations following TBI suggests an injury-induced functional disruption of thalamocortical networks that gradually recovers at approximately 15 days. Understanding this process may provide important insights into the biological basis of altered consciousness following severe head injury, and may allow us to develop new therapies to enhance the rate and extent of neurological recovery following TBI. Superficial temporal artery middle cerebral artery bypass using local anesthesia and a sedative without endotracheal general anesthesia. A clinical article by Yasuhiko Kaku and co-authors. Further simplifying and decreasing the invasiveness of superficial temporal artery middle cerebral artery bypass by performing this operation without endotracheal general anesthesia was believed to be feasible in certain subsets of patients. The authors performed superficial temporal artery middle cerebral artery bypass using local anesthesia with a sedative in 10 patients with both hemodynamically compromised occlusive cerebrovascular disease and multiple comorbidities. The technique that was used is based on the preoperative identification of the point at which the donor and recipient vessels are in closest proximity. Preoperative use of computed tomographic angiography allowed the authors to identify the target point precisely and use a minimally invasive procedure. All patients received dexmedetomidine as the sole sedative agent, together with scalp-blocking local anesthesia with an unsecured airway. Successful superficial temporal artery middle cerebral artery bypass surgeries were achieved via a preselected minimally invasive approach in all cases. There was good hemodynamic stability throughout the surgeries. No airway or ventilation complications occurred, and no patients were converted to general anesthesia. The patients subjectively tolerated the technique well with a high rate of satisfaction. There were no perioperative morbidities or deaths. Postoperative magnetic resonance angiography confirmed a patent bypass in all patients. This initial experience confirms the feasibility of performing superficial temporal artery middle cerebral artery bypass without endotracheal general anesthesia. Stereotactic radiosurgery for arteriovenous malformations after embolization, a case control study. A clinical article by Hideyuki Kano and co-workers. During a 20-year interval, the Center for Image-Guided Neurosurgery at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center performed gamma knife surgery in 996 patients. The authors reviewed 120 patients who had undergone embolization one or more times before radiosurgery. The authors noted that 21% of the patients developed complications from embolization. Obliteration rates after radiosurgery ranged from 35% at 3 years to 59% at 10 years. Patients remained at risk of rebleeding during the observation period after radiosurgery. The overall annual hemorrhage risk was 2.7% prior to obliteration. In this experience, prior embolization reduced the rate of total obliteration after radiosurgery. In addition, embolization did not reduce the risk of hemorrhage while waiting for AVM obliteration. In future, embolization after radiosurgery may provide greater value. Post-radiosurgery embolization may also reduce the risk of hemorrhage during the latency period. A prospective clinical trial of embolization after radiosurgery is planned by the North American Gamma Knife Consortium. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.